بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us all to live long enough to reach another Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, in the next few days. And so, just as a reminder to myself and to you as well, in this reminder, I want to mention two broad things, two main things. The first of which is the manifestation of Tawheed, of Allah's oneness, in the act of worship of fasting. How do we see Allah's Tawheed in this act of worship? And we see Allah's Tawheed in all the acts of worship. The prayer, for example, the fasting, as we shall see, likewise the Hajj, likewise the giving of charity. In all of these acts of worship, there are manifestations of Tawheed from numerous angles. So we want to look at that, inshallah ta'ala, and also the prophetic guidance in relation to fasting. So I want to mention maybe 15 or 20 points about the prophetic guidance in relation to fasting, as a reminder, inshallah ta'ala. So, the month of Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. That the month of Ramadan, the one in which the Qur'an was revealed as guidance for mankind, and clear evidences of guidance and criterion. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْحَ. And so whoever amongst you he witnesses the month, then let him fast. So in this ayah, and in fact many other ayat in the Quran and a hadith, in a nutshell, we see that the month of Ramadan, within it is forgiveness of sins, and it is a raising of the ranks of the believers, and it is a multiplication of the rewards. And within this month, Allah Azza wa Jal, He frees, He liberates many of His servants who would otherwise be destined to the hellfire. And likewise, the month of Ramadan is a month in which nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant seeks that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that month is a supplication at the time of iftar, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He accepts from His believing servant. And in this month, the gates of paradise are opened, and the gates of hellfire are closed, and the shayateen are chained. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He said, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever fasts Ramadan out of having iman, firm iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anticipating his reward, expecting and intending his reward, then whatever has preceded of his sins will be forgiven. And similarly, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عُتَقَى فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Which means that on every day and night of Ramadan, Allah has from amongst His servants those who are going to be delivered, rescued from the hellfire. So with this introduction, obviously we know as people of the Sunnah that we have to have two things to have our deeds accepted. The first of them obviously is ikhlas, sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is agreement with the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we do in every single act of worship. We maintain ikhlas and we seek out what is the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so worship isn't just something that we, it's not based upon emotion or feeling or craving. It is built upon ilm, built upon knowledge. Because al-ilm, knowledge comes before speech and action. With respect to fasting, then these are the following 20 or so things that we can take out from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with respect to fasting. So the first thing that we see from the way of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that he would anticipate Ramadan and he would not fast until seeing the Hilal, seeing the new moon, which signifies the new month. So either he would see it, or if there was a verified seeing from any of his companions, then he would commence fasting on the basis of that seeing. And we know that the companions would go out and look, and sometimes two of them or even just one of them would come and inform him, and the Ramadan, fasting of Ramadan, would be established upon that confirmed sighting. And this is based upon the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. Fast when you see it, and break your fast, meaning stop and end the month of fasting when you see it, meaning the new crescent moon. And if it is overcast with clouds, then complete the month, meaning to complete the month of Sha'ban to 30, and likewise complete the Ramadan to 30, meaning if at the on the 29th you don't see the moon. So this is the first thing that we established, that the guidance of the Messenger of Allah is to start fasting and to end fasting based upon the vision, the seeing of the Hilal. It is not based upon astronomical calculations. It's not based upon what the mathematicians and, you know, the astronomers and what they say. And they have mistakes. Like sometimes they say that, you know, it's impossible to see the moon at this point, at this time. But in their models, this is based on models. And in their models, they don't account for the terrain, you know, because sometimes you can look from a higher place. So we don't place trust and reliance upon the astronomers, what they say. It's based upon the vision of the eyes. And there are also some other wisdoms behind this as well. From the wisdoms that Ibn Taymiyyah mentions is that these are acts of worship which apply to all of the believers. And if acts of worship were tied to things like astronomical calculations, which only a very small number of people would have knowledge of, then that means that these acts of worship and their commencement and their ending now becomes the monopoly of a small group of people. And in Islam, these types of things are not tied or, you know, made dependent upon you know, people who hoard or have a particular type of knowledge. It is universal for everybody in every place. So you start fasting when you see it, and if you can't, you finish Sha'ban to 30, and likewise at the end of the month you break the fast and you do Eid when you see it, and if not, then you complete it to 30. Very, very simple. Right? And then this is how it is, and this is how the Messenger of Allah taught his companions. And if they wanted to use astronomical calculation, they would have done so. But this is not from the way of the Prophet nor of his companions. This is from his guidance. Fasting and breaking fast upon actual visual sight of the moon. The second thing from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah is that he would never fast a day before or 2 days before. Right? Some people do this because they think, they try to take precaution and they think that just in case I might miss the actual first fast, in case we don't see the moon, and it could be the first day, then let me fast out of precaution. Right? The Messenger of Allah, he never ever used to do this. In fact, he used to prohibit his nation, his ummah, from doing this. And he would say, for example, لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجلا يصوم صوما فليصوم. So he specifically prohibited, do not precede Ramadan with a fasting for a day or fasting for 2 days before, except the man who has a routine or a habit. So he has a routine and habit to fast on a Monday, for example, or a Thursday, or the, and it just coincides. Whenever if it coincides with the day that he normally fasts, then that's fine, because he's not fasting in order to take precaution, you know, to not miss a fast, the first fast, right? So this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah. We are prohibited from fasting a day before or 2 days before, just to make precaution in case we miss the actual first fast. This is prohibited in the Sharia. The third thing from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah is that he would command the believers to establish their intention on the night of every fast. So he would, and this would be before Fajr, before the commencement of the fast. And this is for the obligatory fast specifically. So he would say, for example, مَنْ لَمْ يُبِيتْ أَسْيَامْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَلَا سِيَامَ لَهُ, that whoever does not sleep with the intention of fasting, you know, through the night before Fajr, then he will have no fast. And similarly, مَنْ لَمْ يُبِيتْ أَسْيَامْ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا سِيَامَ لَهُ, that similarly, whoever does not have the intention to fast before the break of dawn, then he will not have any fast. And also, مَنْ لَمْ يَجْمَعْ أَسْيَامْ قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا سِيَامَ لَهُ, that whoever does not bring and gather his intention before Fajr, then there will be no fasting for him. So these are very, very clear texts that a person has to have the intention. The intention means that it simply passes through your mind that you are going to fast, right? This is what the intention is. Your knowledge that you are going to, that you will be fasting, that you are going to fast. However, this is only for obligatory fasts. It doesn't apply to the voluntary fast, because we know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would wake up or through the day, if you know there wasn't any food, then he would fast, and if there was any food, then he would not fast, right? So this means that the intention can be established there and then. It doesn't have to be before the break of dawn for the voluntary fast. So this is the third point, the niyyah. The fourth point, or fourth point from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he would not withhold from eating or drinking until the actual break of dawn, right? The actual break of dawn. And this is acting upon the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطَ الْأَبْيَدْ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدْ مِنَ الْفَجَرِ. Eat and drink until the thread of dawn, the white thread of dawn, becomes distinct from the black thread at the time of Fajr, right? This is when the light spreads across the horizon like this. And we see that the companions would act upon this until even while the adhan is being called. Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would have a vessel in his hand, and he asked the Messenger of Allah, can I still have this while the adhan is going? And the Messenger of Allah, he said to him, yes. And so he would drink it. And also the Messenger of Allah, he said, إِذَا سَمِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ النِّدَاءَ وَالْإِنَا فِي يَدِهِ فَلَا يَدَعَهُ حَتَّى يَقْضِي حَاجَتَهُ مِنْهُ. That when one of you hears the call to prayer, and the vessel is in his hand, then let him not put it down until he has fulfilled his need from it. Right? That means right until even the actual adhan is taking place. So this is also from the guidance of the Messenger of Islam. It is very specific as to when you stop eating. Also from the guidance of the Messenger of Islam, which follows on from the fourth point, which is that it is not from the guidance of the Messenger of Islam to give an adhan, for example, 15, 20 minutes before Fajr, and to say that this is the adhan of imsak, to let people know when you should stop eating. This is not from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah. This is a bid'ah. This is an innovation in the religion. Some people do this and they call it the Adhan of Imsak. There's no such thing. Adhan of Imsak, the Adhan of stopping, you know, eating. And people do this once again. They do it in order to take precaution so that they do not eat anything beyond the moment of the start of the fast. But this is exaggeration in the religion. As you can see, the companions, Umar ibn al-Khattab and others, would be eating right until the Adhan. And this thing is an innovation until Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, this was happening in their time. And he commented upon this and he said, from the most evil rejected innovations, al-bid'ah, al-munkara, is what some people have innovated in this time of doing a second adhan before Fajr by a third of an hour, 20 minutes in Ramadan. And likewise, they would start to illuminate the candles or the lights. This would be like an indication for the people to stop, that it now becomes unlawful to eat and to drink, right? Tahrimul akal wa shurub. And again, this would be the people doing this would claim, as Ibn Hajar says, that this is a precaution in ibadah, taking precaution in ibadah. And this has led them to such an extent that they do not give the adhan until after the disappearance of the sun by a certain amount, right? So in other words, not only for sahur but also for maghrib, even though the sun has gone down, they will leave a period of time before they give the adhan. Once again, out of ihtiyat, meaning out of being careful and cautious so as not to break the fast too early. So on both sides, right, for sahur, they do an adhan 20 minutes before, call it the adhan of imsak, just in case somebody eats, you know, beyond the time. And likewise, in breaking the fast, the sun has gone down, and then they wait a period of time before the actual adhan is given. And this also, as Ibn Hajar says, that therefore they delay the futur, and they bring forward, or they bring back the hasten, the sahur. As a result, they oppose the sunnah. This is opposition to the sunnah. And this is why Ibn Hajar says that among such people, you find that goodness, there's not much goodness among these people. If you look at them generally, such people, there's not much khair in them. And evil multiplies among such people. Right? They're doing the reverse of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded. From his guidance, as we shall see, this is point number 6, from his guidance was to delay the sahur right until the actual time and to hasten the breaking of the fast, of iftar. So we see from his guidance was, as he said, my nation will not cease to prosper so long as they hasten to break the fast. And what does it mean, hasten to break the fast? It means that as soon as you see the disk of the sun disappear beyond the horizon, there and then, you then break your fast. Even if the muadhin has not made the adhan, right? So it's not when the muadhin makes the adhan, because that might be delayed for whatever reason. It's as soon as you see the disk disappear below the horizon. And this is because the Messenger of Islam, he said, إِذَا أَقْبَلَ اللَّيْلِ مِنْ هَاهُنَا فَأَدْبَرَ النَّهَارِ هَاهُنَا وَغَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسِ فَقَدْ أَفْتَرَ السَّائِمِ. He says, when the night approaches from this side, so when you look towards the eastern direction, you see it starts getting dark on that side, and on the other side, you see the sun having disappeared below the horizon, then that is when the fasting person breaks his fast. Likewise, from Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he also said that the Messenger of Allah he said, ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ النُّبُوَّةِ. There are three things which are from the akhlaq, the mannerisms of prophethood. And he said, تَعْجِيلُ الْإِفْطَارِ تَأْخِيرُ السَّحُورِ ووضع اليمين على اليسار في الصلاة. Right, so three things are from prophethood, from the traits or from the behaviors of prophethood. First one is to hasten the iftar, the breaking of the fast. The second is to delay the closing of the fast, the sahur meal, right until the very end. And to place the right hand on top of the left hand in prayer. Right, the right hand on top of the left hand in the prayer. So this shows that the correct way is to hasten the breaking of the fast and to delay as much as possible, to delay the sahur meal right till the very end. Also from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the iftar. It would be ripe fresh dates. So when he would break his fast, he would have an odd number of dates, and if he did not find an odd number of dates, it would be with some water. And then he would stand to perform the prayer at the proper time, at the beginning, at the early part of its time. So he is the one who said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man wajada tamran falyuftir alayhi wa man lam yajid tamran falyuftir ala al-ma fa innahu tahur. Which means, whoever finds dates, let him break his fast. Whoever does not find to have dates, then let him break it with water, for indeed it is purifying and pure. Right, so the breaking of the fast is with something simple, and dates or water, and then he would hasten to the prayer straight after. Also from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this point number 8, is a dua. He would encourage making dua at the time of breaking the fast. And he would encourage people to do this, and he would say also, as is related, ذَهَبَ الذَّمَعُ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Right, so this was the dua of the Messenger of the Sallam at the time of breaking the fast. ذَهَبَ الذَّمَعَ, the thirst has gone, وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ, and the veins have been, vessels, veins have been moistened, وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, and the reward is established if Allah wills, meaning the reward for the fasting. And he would also encourage people to help other people to break the fast. So to give someone else the dates or the water. So he would say, whoever gave the fasting person to break his fast, then he will have the reward equivalent to that of the fasting person, without the reward of the fasting person being diminished in any way. Right? So not only we are encouraged to help other people break their fast as well. This was from his guidance, and he would encourage the Muslims to do so. Point number 9 in relation to sahur. Right? So this is iftar. Now this is sahur. He would never ever abandon sahur. And in fact, some of the people of knowledge even say that it is obligatory. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would say, تصحروا فإن في السهور بركة. Take the sahur, for indeed in the sahur there is barakah. And he would also say, السهور, all of it is barakah. So do not abandon it. Even if one of you has to simply take a sip of water. For indeed Allah and His angels, they make mention of the mutasahhirin, those who take the sahur. The angels mention them. And from the barakah of sahur, as the scholars mentioned, first of all, it strengthens the body. It allows a person to go through the fast with ease. It allows a person to have the strength to perform ibadah. And all of these benefits are from the benefit of sahur. So it should not really be abandoned. Also from the benefits, also from the points, or from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, well, this is similar to before, that the sahur likewise would be from tamar, would be from dates. The Messenger said, how excellent is the sahur of a believer when it is made, when it consists of dates. And he would also say, as we just said, as sahur kulhu baraka All of sahur is barakah, so do not let not one of you abandon it, even if one of you needs to take a sip of water. Point number 11, from the guidance of the Messenger, and his travel, he would sometimes fast and sometimes not fast. And his companions would travel with him. And whoever amongst them wanted to fast, he let them fast. And those who wanted to break the fast, then, you know, he let them. And however, he would encourage the people not to fast while traveling. And this is from the concessions of the Sharia. From the concessions of the Sharia. And he would say, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ السِّيَامِ فِي السَّفَرِ. It is not from righteousness to fast when traveling. Right? And in another narration, in a hadith reported by Muslim, عَلَيْكُمْ بِرُخْصَةِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي رَخَّصَ لَكُمْ. That you must accept the concessions that Allah has granted to you, meaning in the religion. And in fact, he also said about one of those, or those people who fast in the journey, when there is difficulty present, he would say, أُولَٰئِكَ الْعُسَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ الْعُسَاتِ. He would say, these are disobedient. Right? So this means that in our religion, walhamdulillah, it's not like the religion of the Yahud, of the Jews, who impose shackles and burdens and difficulties and minutiae, like details. No, Allah's made the Sharia easy, and He's made ease for this ummah. And this is one of the manifestations of ease and mercy, which is the fasting person is encouraged not to fast because of the difficulties and hardships encountered when traveling. And especially when there's likely to be hardship because of the length of journey or the difficulty of journey. In that situation, the one who fasts and imposes a burden upon himself and his body, he is considered to be a sinful, disobedient person. Right? So this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah. It is better for you not to fast. Number 12, from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while fasting, is with respect to his worship and his effort and striving. Then in Ramadan, his efforts would be multiplied compared to outside of Ramadan. And we know that in Ramadan, Jibreel alayhi salam would come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to rehearse and to revise the Quran, to study the Quran. And the Salaf likewise, the Sahaba and other than them, they would strive to complete the Quran a number of times, as we know is related from Az-Zuhri and Imam Malik rahimahullah and others from the Salaf, that they would deliberately stop teaching and giving fatwa. So they would withdraw from the people from teaching and fatwa, and they would be preoccupied with reciting and studying the Quran. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the last 10 days would enter, during the last 10 days, then specifically he would tighten his izar and make plenty of ibadah. He would also make i'tikaf in the last 10 days, within which there would be seeking Laylatul Qadr and reciting the Quran, seeking Laylatul Qadr, doing ibadah. Then all of that, this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah to strive specifically in Ramadan to do extra worship. Otherwise, the fast of a person should not be like any other day, right? So it shouldn't be that the only thing that's different is you are abandoning food and drink, and aside from that, the day of your fasting is just normal like any other day. This is not how fasting should be. And so one of those things is to engage and strive and to make effort in ibadah, in the Quran, in reciting, in studying, and so on and so forth. Also from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah and his way in Ramadan would be that he would increase in his generosity. Right? He would become generous and gracious. We know that in Ramadan, it is said, it is related about him, كَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ أَجْوَدْ مَا يَكُونَ فِي رَمَضَانِ. That the Messenger of Allah, He was the most generous of the people. Generally, he was the most generous of the people. And the most generous he would be in Ramadan. So the generosity mostly applies, giving charity to, happens within the family first and foremost, to relatives and then outside of them. You know, in whichever form that might be, a person is able to give charity, whether it is monetary, in terms of wealth, in terms of possessions, in terms of even in terms of behavior and relations. All of that comes under the meaning of charity and generosity. Also, from the way of the Prophet ﷺ would be to pray at night. The Messenger ﷺ did initially pray Tarawih prayer in congregation. Then he abandoned it after 3 days for fear that it might be made obligatory upon his ummah and create a burden. So he did not do that. But he himself would actually pray during the night time in Ramadan. And he would strongly encourage the people to do so without commanding it. So he never commanded it, but he would strongly encourage the people to do so. And so he would say, as we know, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The well-known hadith that whoever stands in Ramadan praying out of iman and anticipation of reward, then what has preceded of his sins will be forgiven. And so this obviously refers to the Tarawih prayer. Whoever establishes the Tarawih prayer, then he has done what this hadith has stated. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Also from the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this would be point number 15, would be that he would encourage his companions to perform Umrah in the month of Ramadan. And he would say, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'dilu hijjah. An Umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to a Hajj, to a pilgrimage. And he would also say, ta'dilu hijjah ma'i, that it equals a Hajj done alongside me, with me. Also from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah in Ramadan would be in terms of behavior. He would be the best of people in his akhlaq, in his manners, in his way. And he would also command his ummah with that as well. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah, he said, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ أَنِ الْأَكَلُ وَالشُّرْبُ إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ أَنِ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَفُ فَإِنْ سَابَكَ أَحَدٌ أَوْ جَهِلَ عَلَيْكَ فَقُلْ إِنِّي سَائِمٌ. So the Messenger of Allah, he said, fasting is not just refraining from food and drink, but indeed fasting is from al-lagh, which is vain, frivolous behavior, wal-rafath, or, you know, crude kind of foul language and behavior. This is fasting. Fasting is not just mere abandoning food and drink. And if someone abuses you or behaves in ignorance towards you, then you simply say, I'm fasting. Meaning you don't return the same behavior to that person. You simply say, I'm fasting. So this hadith, what does it mean? It means to be upon the best conduct, upon the best of behavior, upon noble manners, upon noble good morals, and to have some dignity. And this is part and parcel of fasting. Fasting isn't abandoning food and drink, right? The fasting is beyond and much more than that. Also from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that he would have relations with his family, and this is something that is permissible, to have marital relations, and he would not abandon or prohibit marital relations. And if he had marital relations, he would perform ghusl before Fajr, and then he would perform ghusl and then he would fast. And if the Fajr reached him, then he would have the sahur, and then he would make the ghusl, and then he would, you know, pray and then fast. And so this is from the way of the Messenger of Allah. Again, as we said before, our religion is a religion of ease. in so many different ways. Inshallah, we shall see in what comes next, or we'll mention what comes next. Point number 18 is that from his guidance, which is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see a manifestation of mercy, which is that Allah azza wa jal has given concessions and made ease to many categories of people. So for example, from a manifestation of that mercy is that the sick person, the person who is sick, who is ill, and the one who is fasting, as we've already seen, they have a concession, they are allowed not to fast, or they can break the fast. And likewise, for the woman who is the elderly woman, the very old woman or the very old man who's in his, you know, old age, they are also allowed not to fast, and then to, you know, give a ransom for that. Likewise, the woman who is pregnant is allowed not to fast, and likewise, the woman who is breastfeeding is allowed not to fast. And likewise, the person who accidentally he eats or he drinks, or he forgets that he's actually fasting, he takes a sip, or he could even be having a meal, and then he just realized that I'm fasting, as happens. This person does not have to make up that fast. It's not broken. He would say, إِذَا نَسِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَأَكَلَ أَوْ شَرِبَ فَلْيَتِمْ صَوْمَهُ إِنَّمَا أَتُمَحُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. That when one of you forgets and eats and drinks while he's fasting, then let him complete his fast. Indeed, it is Allah who fed him and Allah who gave him to drink. So all of this that we've seen is a manifestation of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is part and parcel of seeing Tawheed in fasting, in that this is a manifestation of Allah's Rahmah, which is one of his attributes. And we see all these concessions that the traveling person, the sick person, the elderly man and woman in old age, the pregnant woman, the breastfeeding woman, the one who accidentally eats or drinks, all of these shows that the Sharia has come with ease. And it is not like, as we said, the way of the Yahud, which is shackles and burdens and hardships and difficulties. Rather, this is a religion of ease. Walhamdulillah. Also, from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that the person who became sick, who vomited, then he does not have to break, he does not have to make up his fast. The fast is not broken. Unless a person intentionally makes himself to vomit, right? So if you vomit and it just happens, you it's not controllable and it happens, this does not, you don't have to make up that fast. As he said, مَنْ ذَرَهُ الْقَيْءِ فَلَيْسَ عَلِيهِ قَضَاءَ وَمَنْ اسْتَقَاءَ فَلْيَقْضِ. The one who vomits, then there is no qada upon him. He does not have to make up that fast. But the one, وَمَنْ اسْتَقَاءَ, the one who forced himself or made himself to vomit, then he has to make up the fast. And finally, from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that at the end of the month of fasting, he would bring out the sadaqatul fitr, and on the very last day of Ramadan, before the Eid prayer. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made zakatul fitr obligatory upon the people in Ramadan. So this is obligatory upon every person, every individual person. The head of the household must pay the fitr for every member of his family. And as the scholars explain, the fitr is there to feed the poor and allow the poor to participate in the celebrations. And likewise, it is to remove any shortcomings, any deficiencies in a person's fasting that he did in the month of Ramadan. So this is just a summary of the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relation to fasting. And as we said before, we wanted to mention likewise something in relation to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we observe all of these things in this act of worship. We observe the guidance of the Messenger of Allah in the rulings and the guidelines in relation to fasting, and we are thereby obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are following his sunnah. And likewise also, these acts of worship, there are manifestations of Allah's Tawheed. And when we observe these acts of worship, and we also acknowledge and we know and we understand the manifestations of Allah's Tawheed, then our ibadah, our worship becomes more strong and meaningful and rooted, right? And so from the things that can be mentioned very, very briefly, inshallah, we will conclude shortly, that are from the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that the first thing, the first manifestation of Tawheed is that when you anticipate the fasting, the month of fasting, we find that we have feelings of hope, of wanting to reach fasting. We are fearful that we might not reach the month of fasting if Allah has decreed our lives to be taken, our souls to be taken. And so this is kind of like before Ramadan, it is a type of veneration, it is a type of ta'zeem, a veneration of the symbol, from the symbols of Allah. And fasting is from the sha'air. As we see in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, right? Which means that the person who venerates, he holds great in his heart the sha'air, the symbols of Allah, right? This could be the Hajj, it could be the acts of worship. Then indeed, this is from the taqwa, from the righteous, from the piety and righteousness of the hearts. So as we said, the approach of Ramadan, what do we find in our hearts? It is, you know, that there is hope and fear and rejoicing. All of these feelings, the Salaf used to anticipate Ramadan 6 months before. 6 months they would spend after Ramadan being fearful that Allah may not accept their Ramadan, and hoping Allah will accept the Ramadan. And then after 6 months, they will then be hopeful that Allah Azza wa Jal will decree for them to be able to reach Ramadan. Right? And all of these feelings, they are part and parcel of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are a manifestation of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also from the manifestations of Tawheed is clearly Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who alone has the right to legislate. He is the one who legislated fasting upon mankind, upon the believers. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, indeed fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you, in order that you may be righteous and pious. So basically, everything which is halal, which is haram, within fasting itself, you know, the prohibition of eating during sunrise, the dawn and sunset, and the prohibition of lying and false speech, all of the things which have been made unlawful, and likewise all the things which have been made lawful in fasting specifically, and all the details and guidelines, it is Allah Azza wa Jal who is the legislator of all of that. And our worship is taken from the Quran, from the Sunnah, through legislation. It is not from intellect, it is not on the basis of innovations and misguidance, which we see the Yahud and the Nasara fell into and altered their religion with innovated forms of worship. This is legislation, tashri'ah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second thing that we observe as we are fasting, as a manifestation of Tawheed, is that these deeds we are doing or refraining from, these are legislated by the Lord of the worlds, and He alone is the legislator, the one who legislates. The third manifestation of Tawheed is very clear and obvious, is that as we are fasting, we are enacting the Tawheed of Allah, because this is an act of worship. We are in submission to, we are in servitude to Allah, we are making ubudiyah, we are in ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the one who said, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting is prescribed upon you. So if it's prescribed, then we are in servitude to Allah by complying, by fulfilling. And likewise, the way of the believer, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قول المؤمنين إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون. Indeed, the speech of the believers when they hear, when they are called to Allah and His Messenger that He may judge between them, is that they say, we hear and we obey, and they are the successful ones, right? So this is the response to the command of Allah. This is tahqiq, this is actualizing servitude to Allah. So when we fast and we obey, we take the sahur, we do the fasting, we refrain from what is haram, and we break the fast in accordance, we do all those things, this is an actualization of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also from the manifestations of tawheed in fasting is that fasting, as we see in the verse, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you may be pious. And to be pious, to be righteous, is from, obviously it is from ubudiyah, it follows on from the kalima la ilaha illallah. When we say la ilaha illallah, one of the names of this kalima is kalimatul taqwa, the word of piety. La ilaha illallah is the word of piety, because it leads a person to be pious, to be righteous. And so this piety, what is this piety? It is to do whatever Allah commanded and to refrain from that which He prohibited. Or to put it another way, it is to put between yourself and Allah's displeasure and punishment a barrier. And what is that barrier? It is the righteous deeds. Right? So, to be righteous, to have taqwa while fasting and outside of it as well, this is from the manifestations or the actualization of Tawheed itself. Also, from the manifestations of Tawheed is that when we look at fasting specifically and more generally in the Sharia, all of the specific details, all of the ahkam, we find comprehensive guidance. So this really goes back, to be honest, to point number 3. It goes back to the issue of tashri', how Allah alone has the right to legislate. And being the legislator, He has provided comprehensive guidance in all aspects of life, in the affairs of worship, in prayer, in purification, in fasting, in hajj, in dealings between people, in marriage, inheritance, trade, right? So fasting is just like an act of worship through which we see the perfection of Allah's legislation in all of the affairs of the religion. And so these details of the religion, they are it shows that Allah Azza wa Jal is al-hakam, He is the judge or the lawmaker, and He is the legislator, and all of that likewise in turn indicates His wisdom, His justice, His mercy. So the whole religion and all of its rules and guidelines is a manifestation of these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hikmah, wisdom, rahmah, mercy, which again is an indication of the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal. Also from what indicates tawheed, which we mentioned earlier, is that Allah Azza wa Jal has made certain concessions in His Sharia in relation to fasting specifically, and generally in other affairs as well. This is a manifestation of His rahmah, mercy. Right? So the things that we mentioned before, the sick person, the pregnant woman, the breastfeeding woman, the elderly man, the elderly woman, the traveling person, if you are vomit without doing it deliberately, if you eat or drink without knowing, all of these are concessions. These are indicative of the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said, "Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay." My mercy encompasses everything. So this again is a manifestation of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that within fasting there is manifest laws and rulings and concessions which manifest the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. Also from the manifestations of tawheed is that we see a combination between Allah's rububiyyah, His Lordship, that He is the Lord, the Creator of all things, of the sun, of the moon, of the night, of the day. And likewise, we combine that with ubudiyyah, with servitude. Right? So one of the clearest examples of that is, let's take, for example, the moon. The moon is a creation from the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the moon, we are able to measure the months, and the beginning of the month, and the end of the month, and the measurement of the month. Just like the sun, we measure the day. The sun measures the day, the moon measures the month. So by way of the moon, which Allah Azza wa Jal has created and put in, you know, made as a means in His creation for the separation and measurement of the months, then we observe and we look and we go out and we, you know, make the ru'yah to look at the moon. And through that sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we then fast. And so we, obviously, we marvel and we observe Allah's creation, and we also use what Allah has created for our benefit in order to establish and to commence and to end and to determine, you know, this specifically here, the act of worship of fasting. Also from the manifestations of Tawheed in the issue of fasting is the fact that we are informed about certain things from the ghaib, from the unseen, which we wouldn't otherwise know unless we are informed by revelation. There are certain things which happen which we do not see. We mentioned the hadith earlier on that in Ramadan, futihat abwab al-jannah, the doors of paradise are opened, wa ghulliqat abwab an-nar, the doors of hellfire are closed, wa suffidat ash-shayatin, and the devils are chained. These are affairs of the unseen which we cannot see, and we believe Allah, we believe in the Messenger, in what He conveyed to us regarding knowledge of the unseen. And it is Allah Azza wa Jal who is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, which is from His names. And so this also is a manifestation of Tawheed, in that we have Tasdeeq, that we believe Allah, we believe in what He conveyed to us from that which He created, from that which we cannot see, and which we have to have Iman in those issues, because they have come to us by way of the truthful and the believed, who is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq wal-masduq. Also from the manifestations of Tawheed is our belief in the revelation of the Quran, which was revealed in Ramadan, as we mentioned in the verse earlier on, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, to the end of the ayah. So once again, we have tasdeeq in the Quran that it is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the actual speech of Allah. Allah spoke these words. And we believe Allah has the attribute of speech. Allah speaks. And He spoke to Jibreel, or the Quran. He spoke to Musa alayhi salam directly, the Torah. And so Allah, the Quran is from the speech of Allah. The Quran is from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we recite the Quran, and we know this is Allah Azza wa Jal speaking, and that He spoke the Quran, and Allah's speech is uncreated, then all of this is from the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the angle of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, from Allah's names and His attributes. So then there's other things which follow on from this. From them would be that which is with the Yahud and the Nasara. It is no longer Allah's speech, because it is adulterated, it is corrupted, they have added to it, they have, you know, it was lost and translated to different languages. It is not what Allah Azza wa Jal actually spoke, even though there may be remnants, translated or interpolated, there may be remnants of the teaching in there, but they cannot say that this is what Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam, this is what Allah spoke to Isa alayhi salam. They can no longer say that. As for the Muslims, walhamdulillah, by virtue of the preservation of the Quran, through memorization, through writing, and through successive large-scale transmission in every generation, we are able to say that, for example, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that is the actual speech, Allah actually spoke that. Right? Allah actually, these are actual Allah's words. So this is also another angle, an aspect of Tawheed in Ramadan, especially as we give so much concern to the Quran, that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, final thing, which is from the manifestations of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Ramadan is a month of dua, of supplication, ikhlas, making sincere, truthful dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know the believers do. In Ramadan, we turn to Allah. Likewise, we make dua to Allah for believers and Muslims in all parts of the world who are undergoing a hardship, difficulty, tribulation, oppression, famine, poverty. And so the Muslims turn to Allah earnestly, sincerely, you know, and they call upon Allah, and the hearts turn to Allah with sincerity. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةِ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When my servants ask you concerning me, then indeed I am close. I respond to the call of the supplicant when he supplicates. So let them respond to me and let them believe in me in order that they may be rightly guided. So dua is from the greatest of the manifestations of ibad. It is the essence of worship. Dua is worship. And this is from the greatest manifestations of Allah's tawheed, an actualization of ubudiyah, that we invoke Allah. And invoking Allah and invoking Him alone is obviously from the greatest of the commands that the Quran came with, as opposed to the people of shirk and polytheism, who invoke others besides Allah, the dead righteous people, the angels, the jinn, you know, the different gods they believe in and worship falsely besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A dua is from the greatest of the affairs of worship, and it is directed only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the manifestations of His Tawheed. So this kind of really brings us to an end of the things that we wanted to mention. We wanted to combine between seeing the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this tremendous act of worship from so many different angles, and likewise at the same time following the guidance of the Messenger of Allah. This is ittiba'u sunnah. This is ittiba', it is imitating, following the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which on top of ikhlas, sincerity, is the second condition for the acceptance of an act of worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, we'll conclude our reminder there, and we ask Allah azza wa jal to accept or to give us tawfiq in establishing Ramadan, the fasting and the prayer, and that He accepts that from us. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.